Well, good morning. You've got me today. A little disclaimer, thanks. A little disclaimer. I've always learned in life that no matter what I say or my opinions, there's always an exception. So that is in this today. I understand that we're going to talk about worship today and why we're here. And I do understand those watching by Facebook or other locations. We have sick, we have those who are physically unable to make it to worship. They're in hospital or they are away or doing whatever. So that's my understanding. But I'm talking to us today, following in the line of what Pastor Jim has been teaching us. Another good way to be prepared is to be ready to be here on Sunday. So we're going to talk about an Old Testament story. Are you familiar with Nadab and Abihu? The strange fire of worship, and how that applies to us today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word to us, your presence. You are a good Father, but you're also holy. You are a consuming fire that is righteous, loving, kind, yes, corrective. Because your desire is that, according to your word, that no one would perish. You want us to come through your Son, Jesus, because he is the way and the truth and the life. So if we have still yet to make that decision, that our hearts would be open to repentance, confession, and forgiveness, and the receiving of your Son, Jesus, as Lord and personal Savior. For this time together, we do praise and worship you. We sing and we listen, we read, we respond, and we thank you that we have so many wonderful opportunities given to us to not only sing your praises, but to stand and sit, and to fall to our knees in awe of you. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we open this word from the book of Leviticus. Holy Spirit, come and move amongst us and help us to understand where this applies in our life, because we understand all of us have different lifestyles and jobs and routines and families. We just pray that application would be our concern. For those on our prayer list, those that are suffering, those who are anxious with diagnosis and still awaiting consults and appointments, for those, Father, that may be feeling just a little lonely today, those laying in their hospital bed, sitting in their wheelchair, their room at the care facilities throughout the country, for those that are prepping for surgeries and exams, even on this Sunday morning, we pray for your peace. For all the organizations we support and missionaries around the world, continue to bless the Koraks, the Rainans, Pastor Salek, the Cahills, all those who are busy this day ministering your word. For all the missions and all the programs here at our church, may you be glorified in all that we do. We thank you for this time together and ask your help and guidance as we hear your word today. For we do ask in Jesus' name, amen. Three simple verses, but very powerful story indeed. The profane fire. That word profane is even unique. It's a Hebrew word. It means outside the temple is kind of the connotation of that word. So it's unique what's going on here. Go back and even read chapters 8 and 9, give you a more wider, broad understanding what's so sad about these first three verses. It says, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Irenaeus, who was a first century bishop in Lyon, once was noted as saying this, nothing glorifies God more than a human being made holy. Nothing is more likely to make a person holy than the desire to glorify God. Worship. My hope is by the end of this message today that you we'll see that it's more than just a term we use to describe this particular service we happen to be sitting in this hour. Worship for all of us as born-again believers in Jesus should be at the heart of all that we do, not just this 1 hour alone on Sunday. It should be an attribute of your nature, an attribute of your nature because it is at the core of who you are. Worship is our way of living out and expressing what God truly, honestly means to us. In fact, if you go study the word worship, you'll find it's an old English word. It's actually two words that means worth-ship, W-O-R-T-H. Comes from the word worthiness. Worship is a word that means attributing worth and honor and reverence and respect to someone. So worship is our way of expressing our worth to Almighty God. I think having an awareness of worship should embody our daily lives and how we do everything, even how we think, how we process our thoughts, how we conduct ourselves, even how we respond to both the positive and negative things and events in our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Worship is just one way we accomplish that. The importance of worship and its connection to the holiness of God should be an awareness that we carry with us all the time, everywhere. And I pray that we'll never, ever, ever lose our sense of awe to Almighty God. I pray that we'll never, ever fail to fully grasp what we are doing when we truly walk through those doors to come in here on Sunday morning. When we walk through those doors and enter into this sanctuary, we are, in a sense, leaving the natural world of human understanding, and we are ushering our hearts, our souls, our minds, and this mortal flesh into a supernatural presence of the infinite presence of a holy God, worthy of full attention, worthy of focus, adoration, praise, and worship. I honestly believe we should be taking coming in here that serious, because approaching God with the utmost reverence and respect should be our concern. The last thing we need to do in corporate worship is all of us together, is to approach God with disrespect, dishonor, distractions, a heart and a mind that's not truly focused and ready to worship. Yes, I think if you look at what happens here in this Levitical passage, it really is that sacred. It really is that important for us. And I believe this is what makes our scripture passage today so powerful, but yet at the same time so sad and disappointing. Because here's Aaron, the older brother of Moses, with two sons, Nadab and Abihu. If you read the former chapters before this story, they're newly consecrated priests. They have been called to a holy vocation. Yet these two priests end up consumed by the holy fire of God and lose their lives. So to get into this, let's first set that story up. Remember first who started this fire that they're working with. We need to go back to Leviticus 9:24. It says, "Fire blaze forth from the Lord's presence and consume the burnt offering and the fat of the altar." When the people saw this, they shouted with joy and fell face down on the ground. You see, this fire wasn't started by Aaron or Moses or these two priests. This is God personally sending fire from heaven, from his very being. The fire was started by God himself, and because he found the sacrifice was acceptable, and because it was from him personally, that's the fire God wanted to be kept continually burning. So now take that concept. Let's take the second one. In order to understand the fire, we need to understand and go back and remember God's command before he lit this fire. Exodus chapter 30, verse 9, God commanded, "Do not offer any strange incense on this altar, or any burnt offerings, grain offerings, or liquid offerings." God laid out his plans, his instructions, his wishes. They were to be followed step by step, word by word, action by action. They were to be followed exactly as he said so. No additions or deletions, compromises or deviations. God's way, period. And there's where Nadab and Abihu made several mistakes. If you count them all, seven, all at once. It's amazing what they were doing. Mistake number one, well, obvious, they didn't follow the instructions. They didn't do exactly what God had detailed them to do. Number two, they didn't use the coals that came from God's fire. They went outside the temple and found some others. Three, it was at the wrong time of the service. God had detailed times. He said, "I want this to be done at certain times of the day." This wasn't one of those prescribed times. Number five, they were assuming a role that didn't belong to them. This was Aaron's job. So apparently, they were doing something they shouldn't have been doing. Six, it ties into number five. Some scholars of this study believe that not only were they not doing what they were supposed to, they actually walked into the Holy of Holies, which was reserved only for the high priest. And then seven, probably worst of all, if you go back to verse 9, they were intoxicated. They'd been drinking on duty. Not good. So you can understand 1 through 6, because number 7 is probably the reason why they were messing up so badly. A lot of mistakes all at once. Yes, they were priests, they were consecrated, and they were held to a higher standard. But beyond that is the reality, beyond being drunk on duty, a little sloppy, doing things their own way, and not following the commands of God. I believe the reason God took their life, trivializing what is holy, trivializing that which is holy and sacred, what it intended to be, holy and sacred, was being degraded down to making it just an everyday, just kind of humdrum routines of step one, step two, step three, ordinary, worldly, going through the motions, rituals. What had been done was a clear violation of God's commands. So the bottom line is this. It's not enough to have a worthy purpose and a proper spirit when entering into the service and worship of God. God's work and worship must also be done in God's way. Pursuing the right end does not automatically imply using the right means. So, how does this apply to us today? Well, I think the application for us comes from the words that Moses used to Aaron after his sons were killed. Moses said this in verse 3. This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified. So I believe the application is that we must never, ever, ever weaken or lose our healthy fear of Almighty God. Never assume that the fear of the Lord is something that belonged for all those people back in the Old Testament days. Yes, I do understand. We are on this side of the cross under God's grace through Jesus Christ, who is now our true high priest. I get that. But this is just as important for us today. And if you don't believe it's just as important and it doesn't belong in the New Testament, well, go ask Ananias and Sapphira what they think. Our application is never, ever lose your healthy fear of the Almighty God. The fear of God involves a sense of reverence and awe because of His glorious holiness. When we come into this presence of the Almighty, we are to be people who have prepared themselves to be in His presence and have been forgiven and reconciled. Godly fear is inspired by having respect for the one with whom we are dealing. And that's why the message today is entitled The Strange Fire of Worship. What can we learn from Nadab and Abihu in regards to our own worship practices here today when we gather on Sunday? The big ticket question, what does that look like? I'm going to at least start you off with two probabilities here to help us get started. First, I believe most importantly is just simply knowing that worship starts before you even get here. When we come to church, we're not arriving to begin and start worship. We're arriving already in worship because that's what we've been doing all week. That makes sense. I hope so. We have been preparing our hearts and minds all week long in our own personal individual worship. Every day, we're living out our faith through study, prayer, discipleship, service, holiness in love of neighbor and of enemy, reconciling the end of each day through repentance, confession, and forgiveness. And by doing that, being prepared and ready to walk in here on Sundays to continue the worship. We're not starting to worship. We're continuing what we've been doing all week long. So being ready. The second lesson that we can learn from Nadab and Abihu is that we not only need to be prepared and ready to come in here on Sunday, but to be keenly aware of the order of worship. Now, Charles, you're getting nitpicky here, but no, I think when you think about the awesome power of the holiness of God, why would you just flippantly walk in here unprepared? Nadab and Abihu found out, quite frankly, what happens when you do that. We only have to read the stories of creation in Genesis, the building of the temple in Exodus 26 to find out God is not a God of chaos. He is not one of disorder and haphazardness. He is very precise, detailed. He has meaning, order, and purpose. So when we arrive here on Sunday for worship, I believe the lesson that is saying here between Abihu and Nadab and Abihu is just to simply say, be ready, be prepared, aware of what to expect. Be ready to engage your heart and your soul and your mind and body in worship. So what does that look like? You want to know what the simplest thing you can do? It's this piece of paper right here. Get the bulletin. Right on the front page is our website, Facebook page, Twitter account. Everything ties you into the bulletin. We got it up there? You see down there at the very end? Click here. You want to go ahead and click on that one for us? There's click here. That's a long way to look from back there. Ta-da, bulletin. Do that on Friday, Saturday. It's very important to be ready to know what's going on when you get here. We really seriously need to know exactly what's going on. Starts on looking at what is going on here. Look at the songs that have been selected. Have you ever heard of some of those? Go look at YouTube. Plenty of videos. Read the lyrics. Be familiar with the tunes before you come in here so you can sing them. Are we ready to sing? Look at who's preaching. Is it me? Is it Pastor Jim? Is it Pastor Marie? Is Jennifer getting another turn to speak for us? Pray for them. Pray that they are fine-tuning their message for today and are prepared to stand up here. What's the scripture passage? You look at that and like, good gracious, Leviticus? What is that one? Look that up. Most of us have study Bibles. Get a little understanding what's going on so that you're ready to receive the message. Do a general study. And just getting the bulletin, that's just a start. Another way to prepare is just simply to be ready to come. And I know that for all of us, the 200-300 that come through here on two services, that we have multiple ways of doing this. For me personally, I'll use myself as an example. Being ready for Sunday starts on Saturday. Making sure my clothes are clean and ironed out and ready. Making sure the keys, the coat, the shoes are all staged together so I'm not wasting time finding lost things and getting frustrated and losing time and coming late. I think sometimes for some of us, it's just being prepared physically, going to bed, getting sleep. Rising early in prayer. Maybe we should limit ourselves with our phones and social media, leaving the TV off, keeping our minds from getting cluttered and our hearts from being unnecessarily provoked and wound up and get all agitated before you come here. Put on praise music. Let the joy of the Lord sing through your home. Even something as obvious as leaving early enough to get here. So that you not only have time to greet and fellowship, but to come in, center yourself, and begin to pray, to quiet your heart, to pray for the speaker, the pastor that's preaching that Sunday, for the Sunday school teachers who are engaged with our children and our adults. Big thing for me, because you already looked at the bulletin and know what the scripture passage is, go ahead, put a bookmarker in there so you're not scrambling through trying to find it and a distraction. Little things, just all these wonderful little things we can do and incorporate to prepare ourselves so that we are absolutely, positively ready. So many ways we can all make ourselves ready to not only physically be here, but to be spiritually here. Ready to worship. Nadab and Abihu died instantly in the presence of the Lord for violating God's holiness. God is a holy God. And in all things, we must act responsibly and reverently towards that holiness. Because I think God deserves it, doesn't he? God truly deserves our attention and focus. He is to be honored and praised in all things and facets of our daily living, of our daily and personal worship. So I hope that through your devotional times and during the week, Bible studies, visitations, prayer time, your work centers, even when we're on vacation. Vacation, you're not off from your faith as well. That we are obviously finding ways to incorporate worship. Psalm 99, verses 1, 3, and 5. The Lord is king. Let the nations tremble. He sits on his throne between the cherubim. Let the whole earth quake. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Your name is holy. So exalt the Lord our God. Bow low before his feet, for he is holy. Psalm 122, verse 1. I know you've said it time and time again. May not have known it was Psalm 122. But I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. We're ready. We're prepared to come in here because that's what we've been doing all week. It just comes in here and continues corporately. So let us go forth today and begin to guard our hearts from that strange fire of worship. Let's pray. Father, we know the world is busy. We know that we have distractions, anxiousness, and things that weigh heavy. But Father, for a moment in time, we can leave that natural world and step into the supernatural presence of your amazing power, authority, and presence. You are holy, and we should tremble in fear on our knees at your great, amazing presence. You are here, and we come collectively. So help us to remember that when we come, we are not starting or beginning, but we are continuing because we've been praising you and worshiping you, adoring you, loving you all week. It's just we get the joy of coming here and doing that collectively together. Help us, Father, to have a healthy fear of you, that we would not take you for granted and be disrespectful or to dishonor you in any way. Help us to truly open our hearts and minds and souls to you, fully surrendered in praise and worship for your great goodness. Because as we've sung already, you are a good, good Father. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.